the NBA for ESPN, the best news breaker in the business. It's Adrian Wojnarowski making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Whoa, it's Gary. Thanks for being here, man.
Gary, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Everything's all right. I won't keep it too long. I know how busy you are, but I wanted to start with your Kawhi Leonard column from earlier today because I mentioned it in the opening segment just about this interesting situation the Spurs and Kawhi find themselves in. It seems obvious that they're better together for a variety of reasons, and yet things undeniably got sideways this season, as you reported. Ultimately, at some point, Kawhi and Pop are going to sit down and see if they can make sense of moving forward together. Do you expect them to be able to make sense of it?
I think the opportunity is there for them to do it, because I still think there is a I think Kawhi's strongest connection to San Antonio is Greg Popovich, and I think he's still very fond of him, and I think he likes playing for him. I think those guys are better when they're dealing with each other one-on-one versus others who've entered into the relationship over the last year. And so I think if they can find a way here to get on the same page medically, he took his medical out of the organization like last August, and you know, as an organization, you want to be able to oversee that or certainly have a strong voice in it. And, you know, in that contract, you know, he's able to, the Spurs are able to offer him a $219 million five-year Supermax deal because he's met the criteria of all NBA and defensive player of the year. And so nobody else can pay him nearly that much. And you know, as I reported, I think the Spurs want to, before they sit and just throw that offer on the table, you know, knowing the Spurs' DNA and their history and how they approach going forward with players and the relationships they want to have, they want to know he's invested and he wants to be there. And so those are things that they still have to work through between now and July free agency.
Let's pretend for the sake of the conversation that Pop exits that meeting unsure of whether Kawhi and a $219 million contract going forward makes sense. Would they actually look, and I'm not saying this is likely, but Pop, would they actually look to move him this offseason?
Well, I mean, you'd think there's probably going to be more than one conversation, although – you know, time's getting tighter, and I do think they've been in contact. I just don't think they've had that kind of heart-to-heart. They don't want to trade him. I mean, they don't want to trade him. They had calls at the trade deadline, including Boston, and they resisted then. And, you know, Greg Popovich is almost 70 years old, and he's not really looking to rebuild. He's not looking to get young players and picks. That's not his future. I think he'll always try to do the right thing for the organization. And try to leave it in a good place if he's going to step aside here at some point. But they want to go forward with him. But they've got to decide if they don't offer him that contract, and it remains to be seen whether they will or won't. If they don't and say to him, we want you to go back and play this year, and he would have to meet those criteria again. He'd have to make All-NBA or defensive player or MVP, one of the three All-NBA teams. And then, but I don't know that Kawhi would want to do that. He might then say, hey, well, I would rather you just move me now because I'm not going to stay anyway. So, like, we're not there yet. But if they had to trade him, it would be really difficult. Like, how do you get value for him? And if you're a team that would want to trade for him, would you do what Oklahoma City did and just roll the dice and say, I think we can use the year to convince this guy to stay. We have something good enough. Or do you need to be in L.A. or a Boston or maybe a Philly, where maybe you would have more confidence that you could resign this guy? You probably have some conversations with his people beforehand. So there's a lot in play here, but I think the focus for the Spurs is to find a way to keep him and to stay together, and then, you know, kind of run back a team here with LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi, and see how else they can improve the team around them. And hey, listen, they would love to get into free agency and chase LeBron, and I would think that if Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford wanted to sit down at a table and meet with LeBron, I would be surprised if he wasn't willing to listen. I think the respect he has for that organization and Pop. So you never know. That would still be a difficult proposition, I think, to get him. But they would love the chance to get, I think, Kawhi locked in here and do what everyone else in the league wants to do, try to figure out if they can get involved with LeBron.
Talking to Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN on Twitter, at WojESPN, you bring up LeBron. He's obviously going to be the dominant subject matter until he announces where he's going to play next. Right now, odds makers seem to put the best odds on the Los Angeles Lakers. Does that correlate with what you're hearing as well?
I don't want to say I'm hearing anything because I'm not. I'm not hearing anything. I think it makes sense on a lot of levels. There's no question. It's the one where, you know, like, you understand why the odds makers would do that, right? Like, they have the cap space. It's L.A. It's the Lakers. It's Hollywood. He's got a home there, or maybe multiple homes there, too. So there's plenty of reasons you would do that. And anywhere else he would go except for Philadelphia among, like, let's say, like, big market and teams that are, I mean, Philly has a better team than the Lakers do, but anywhere else it would have to be sign and trade, or a team would have to gut its roster and clear a lot of cap space to create room for LeBron. So it's just harder anywhere else. It just makes his free agency more complicated, and it makes it more interesting because, you know, if LeBron tells any team in the NBA, hey, I'd like to come, they're probably going to tear apart their infrastructure and try to create the space, or try to talk to Cleveland about doing a sign and trade and see if that's a way they can acquire him.
Do you think Boston would be willing to do that? Because there has been speculation that, and for basketball reasons, purely basketball reasons, you know, sign and trade, LeBron goes to Boston, Gordon Hayward's out, a starting lineup of, theoretically, Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, LeBron James, Al Horford. That's three all-stars, two rising stars, Brad Stevens coaching. Would Boston be willing to say, you know what, LeBron, come on. If you want to come here, we'll make it happen.
I don't think anybody would, like, if LeBron's knocking at your door,
right.
I think anybody would consider it. I don't see him having interest in Boston. I really don't. I don't think it would surprise me. I have no doubt he respects the organization and the team building they've done and the coach. I just don't see that one. I just don't see that one as really being very practical for him or being in fitting maybe what he would want next. I haven't got any sense that he really has an interest in that.
You know, another alternative that I don't think gets discussed a lot, but I imagine it's in play on some level, is like just staying in Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland would have to do something to convince him that he'd be in a better situation next May and June than he was this May and June. What could is it even possible for Cleveland to do something to make the Cleveland situation compelling for LeBron James?
Well, here's what I think Cleveland's worry is, that they went to him late June, and said, we can get a deal done for Paul George. We can get a commitment from him, but if you make a commitment, Paul George would be willing to stay for a couple of years or opt into his deal. And LeBron didn't want to do it then. So when he had a chance to have a team that at that time would have been Paul George and Kyrie Irving, he wasn't ready to commit. So that kind of player is not going to be available to them. Like what Cleveland would hope they can do is package the eighth pick and Kevin Love. But I don't think the eighth pick and Kevin Love is not getting you a player of the caliber of Paul George. It's not. And so they're in a tough spot. I think if he stays, maybe he stays on a short deal. Maybe he kind of resets it. Maybe he could do a one-year deal. He could do a longer deal. He could do a $200 million deal if he wanted there, 5 years. But if he decides that, like, home and geography and family, all those reasons, I'm going to stay. But it's hard for him, I think. I think it would be hard for anyone to look at the roster and look at where they're set up and say, I'm going to stay because I just think we're set up to win at a high level. It isn't, but he's got a part in that too because, again, you know, Kyrie didn't want to play with him anymore. And Paul was willing to come under the right circumstances. So, like, it could be a very different team.
I'm talking to Adrian Wojnarowski here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on Twitter, at Woj ESPN. We've mentioned the Lakers, and like I said, oddsmakers project them, and for a lot of sensible reasons, to be the favorite to land LeBron James. There is still the Lonzo Ball situation there. LeVar is continuing to pop off about the coach, the training staff, whatever. And then there's a diss track that Lonzo released at Cal Kuzma that I don't know whether it's a joke or something to be taken seriously. But either way, there's a lot of Lonzo Ball stuff going on around that franchise. Is that something that the Lakers are going to have to resolve? Is that something that would at least push them to a point where they might consider moving on from what seems to be a more complicated situation than most anticipated?
Yeah, and I mean, I would say a lot of people anticipated this is exactly how it would go, and I think they had concerns it would go this way. Well, it's going that way, and, you know, you're only going to survive, like, you know, your value to any team or any organization is going to be like how much you're willing to tolerate, how much value do you have that you're willing to tolerate this? And they're testing that. Like, it's like, do you think this is a good idea to be having like this childish stuff 2 weeks before free agency? Like, I don't think Paul George or LeBron James are going to say, oh, I didn't like what I saw. Like that's going to be why I don't go. But these things add up, and it speaks to the lack of professionalism in the atmosphere that, you know, has come with LeVar. It's just a constant, or it's been a relatively constant thing. And at some point, like, you're not worth the trouble anymore. And so I hope for his sake and his son's sake that that's not what happens, because, you know, like, Lonzo's a really good player and has a chance to be a really good point guard. But I got to believe at some point the Lakers' brand and who they are supersedes this, you know, nonsense, and because it will at some point, right? Like, so I'll be interested to see how, you know, we'll see what, you know, where do the Lakers come on free agency? They've got to land somebody here. Like, there's a lot of pressure. I mean, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka came in there selling the idea of, we're going to be the guys who could deliver superstars back to the Lakers. Mitch Kupchak couldn't do it, and Jim Buss wasn't able to do it at the end of their tenure. And so there's a lot of pressure for them to land, you know, they've got these two full scholarships, so they have access to get to the two full max slots, and they've got to find a star to fill at least one of them this year.
The Warriors championship parade was yesterday in Oakland, and it was mostly just a good time with Jordan Bell drinking Hennessy and Nick Young having a blast. There was this awkward moment, though, where they were talking about Kevin Durant's contract, and Bob Myers made a joke about he doesn't really have whatever contract he wants. That was just for the media. And Steve Kerr made a joke about maybe we'll give him a mid-level. And they were both jokes. And you know Bob well, and you know Steve well, and you know they were joking. But, like, yep. It did come across as a bit awkward, given that Kevin Durant is, I'm not going to be a psychologist from a distance, but he does seem sensitive to stuff. And it was just made for this weird moment. I'm curious, did you see it? And if so, what'd you make of it?
I didn't make much of it. I mean, I think I know the relationship that Bob Myers has with Kevin Durant. I've seen him joking and kidding with him. They bust chops back and forth a lot. Now, right. I know it's different when there's people, there's a stage, a baby, but I just know there's a great relationship there, and they do a lot of, you know, Bob never takes himself very seriously, and I think part of why the players like him is he's kind of disarming that way. He's not afraid to bust chops with a superstar player, and a lot of those guys are used to having executives tiptoe around him, and I've always kind of found that they like that about him. Players have told me they like that about Bob, so I understand. Without maybe not everybody may have that perspective and how it looked. I would be really shocked if Kevin Durant fought 2 seconds about it after it happened. I really would.
That's interesting. Wrapping up here with Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN on Twitter, at WojESPN. Last thing before I let you go, you broke more news yesterday about J.B. Bickerstaff's staff as he continues to assemble it in what will be his first full year as the Grizzlies' full-time coach. As someone who knows this league and assistants better than myself or anybody listening, what do you make of the staff that J.B.'s putting together?
I think he put a really good staff together. Chad Fourcier came from Orlando. You know, he's got a background in San Antonio, Indiana, I think. You know, Jerry Stackhouse, who was very well regarded in Toronto, you know, got to the finals twice as a G League head coach, was coach of the year, won a championship, was on Dwayne Casey's staff for a year there, and was a head coaching candidate this year, interviewed in New York, among other places. And then yesterday, you know, Vitaly Potapinko, who comes in, is kind of a big-name coach you know, and played in the league and worked with the Cavs, you know, kind of came up through the D-League. You know, it's, you know, when you see those ex-players who are willing to go coach in the D-League, I mean, this is a guy who had, you know, who made a lot of money in the NBA and really wants to do it, right? D-League, and then came through with the Cavs and now moves on to Memphis. I think he's done a good job, and I think that, you know, JB has always, you know, he grew up in a coaching family, obviously, his dad, Bernie, and he's been around it his whole life, and I think he has a very good sense of who the right guys are, who fits his group and kind of where, you know, where he needs to complement himself and have assistants complement each other. I think he's really happy, and I think he's really happy with the group he put together. And I think, given the marketplace, there were so many openings this year, and a lot of guys already had filled jobs. I thought he did a really good job with it.
That is Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. Make sure you're watching him on your television. Go check the Kawhi Leonard column, ESPN.com. Make sure you find him on Twitter, at Woj ESPN. You're the best, buddy. I appreciate you being here. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN on Twitter, at Woj ESPN. I won't pretend to know the ins and outs of NBA professional basketball assistants, but my understanding is that, yes, the staff that JB is putting together, and Woj confirmed that, is an impressive group of guys. I mean, Stackhouse is somebody who could have very reasonably been a head coach in the NBA as of yesterday. You know, he was obviously involved in the Raptors' search that ended up going to Nick Nurse, a longtime assistant of Dwayne Casey. But, you know, Stack was right there, and there's some people who think Stack should have got that job. And now he's going to be here. The other guys that JB has hired, the sense around the league is that he's done a nice job assembling a staff. And then depending on what happens in free agency and the NBA draft, we'll see if that staff can get the Grizzlies back to respectability in the 2018-19 season.